This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi, this is Katia Rogers, executive producer of On the Media. This holiday week, we're featuring a series of conversations about an alarming loss of trust, faith, and devotion by Americans for American democracy. This miniseries is part of a month-long campaign called the Purple Project for Democracy, a strictly nonpartisan, apolitical effort. Our very own Bob Garfield is one of the Purple Project organizers. We recommend that you listen to this series in order. This is episode 3, in which Bob explores some of the causes for our current disaffection.
One of the reasons so many Americans have lost trust and faith in democratic institutions is simple misunderstanding about how the system is designed to work. Another, however, is all too much familiarity with how the system does work, which often isn't exactly of, by, and for the people. Anand Giridharadas is author of Winners Take All, The Elite Charade of Changing the World. He says the founders didn't plan on politicians' constant trash-talking of government itself.
But I think it's very important to understand that this decline in trust in government is the result of a private sector propaganda war over the last 30, 40 years, and we are now seeing the long-term downstream consequences of it. But since the 70s in the United States, there was this concerted war on the idea of government. Government is the problem. Government is a leech. The government is a kind of glorified DMV. And this was one of the most successful intellectual campaigns in history. Those of your listeners who want to nerd out can go look at the Trilateral Commission, the Powell Memo, all these documents and organizations in the 70s that organized for this kind of business takeover of public sentiment. And lo and behold, they succeeded. And you had Ronald Reagan and people like that saying,
in this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
You had Margaret Thatcher saying there's no such thing as society, only individual men and women. But you also had, on the left, the kind of secondhand smoke internalization of this dogma. So you had Bill Clinton saying the era of big government is over, which is a sort of kinder, gentler version of the Reagan thing. Or you had Barack Obama creating the first new office that he created in his White House, the Office of Social Innovation, and it says on its website, top-down programs from Washington aren't how you change things anymore, which is both a patently false statement and in violation of the fact that he could only vote in this country because of a remarkable and important top-down program from Washington called the Voting Rights Act. So this notion that government is the problem was so ably spread by the forces of plutocracy that we are now in a place where people so little believe in their own common institutions, the institutions we own together, that we have built together, that our ancestors built for us to solve our biggest shared problems, that we now are trusting random business people who weren't even successful in business to come fix government. We're apparently trusting the army to fix it.
But surely it's not just that. There are other factors, are there not? Like, for example, the public not having any idea how the institutions of democracy work, basic civics education?
There's something deeper, which is in a culture that is organized around the pursuit of money as the highest good, which is really what our culture has been in this age of capital for the last 30 or 40 years. I think people don't have a formative experience, young people, in many cases, where they're cutting their teeth in some kind of civic sphere. And there's different proposals on the table that have been floated from time to time about like national service as something that could do that. So there's a certain basic general knowledge about your own society that's useful. But I think I would go deeper to say there's also, whether you go straight to Facebook or something like that after college versus have some kind of experience where you are encountering other Americans from different walks of life than you, encountering a kind of civic spirit of doing things together through collective enterprise. And I think it's going to be both the basic civic information, but also, frankly, a restoration of some kind of civic spirit.
So in the face of these survey results and the ever-growing body of evidence that people are prepared to throw the democracy baby out with the political frustration bathwater, what do you prescribe?
I get hope from a turning that happened 100 years ago in this country. 100 years ago in this country, we were in the first Gilded Age, and the first one ended, which is how a second one could come around decades later. And the way the first one ended was that it buckled under its own contradictions. You had great fortunes being created. You had railroads being built and steel empires and monopolies. And you had a lot of prosperity, but you also had a lot of inequity, a lot of poverty. You had union workers being shot as they tried to go on strike. And people started to realize that this Gilded Age economy that was essentially a casino organized for the benefit of a few tens of thousands or 100,000 people and not the millions of people in this society, wasn't serving them, and organized against it. And we got the Progressive Era. Then sometime down the road, we got the New Deal. And the emphasis of the society shifted from an age of capital to an age of reform. And we've had these cycles in American history. And I think we are in the last gasps of another age of capital, the second Gilded Age. And what I hope is where we go from here is a second age of reform, where we pivot to doing the work of democratic rebuilding that will attack those numbers, that will actually make people believe again in the power of government to make people's lives better.
One of the premises of the Purple Project that a group of people and I are now undertaking is that the solution, if there is one, doesn't necessarily reside ultimately in Congress or in the courts or in the White House, but in individual participation in civic life, whether from Zip Plus 4 to inside the Beltway. And, you know, whether it means poll watching or canvassing for a candidate or running for public office or testifying to the zoning hearing board, somehow participating. And you have talked about the very notion of seeing democracy as a consumer good versus an entirely different way of looking at it.
I think the metaphor you're talking about, I talked about, you know, democracy is not a supermarket where you pop in whenever you need something, but it's a farm where you reap what you sow. I'll give you an example. You're talking about canvassing. I was in Seattle last night, and they have an election next week that everybody, as far as I can tell, is very exercised about. And Amazon, a big company in town, is giving money to try to get that election to go in a very corporate-friendly way. And hundreds of people in his audience last night were jeering that and were saying, no, like, we don't want Amazon. We want to fight back. And then in the Q&A last night, I asked, how many of you all have volunteered, like actually volunteered, for this big election that you were very loudly jeering about half an hour ago? And a very small number of hands went up among the 600 or 700 people. I said, okay, that's fine. How many of you are willing to commit here today to get involved and volunteer over the next week, canvassing or whatever is best? And a very, very small number of people out of the 600 or 700 raised their hand. And so I said, look, you get what you fight for. And the reality is what I sensed in that room is that Jeff Bezos cares more about that election than the people in the room did. And that means you're going to get Jeff Bezos' desired outcome. I think it's possible for people to beat the plutocrats, but we have to organize, canvass, join more than we are right now. And a further thing to say is that clicking is not the same thing as joining, although a lot of us are tempted into thinking that it is. We often feel civically active when we're online. Like, we have a kind of civic hangover when we go online. But in reality, we've done nothing civic. And it's serving as a substitute for a lot of the hard work of actually organizing, actually getting out there, actually canvassing, actually running for office, actually knocking on doors. That is and has always been a part of how democratic life works.
Anand, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Anand Giridharadas is a writer and author most recently of Winners Take All, The Elite Charade of Changing the World, available now in paperback. On this holiday week, the Purple Project for Democracy is hosting the Great Thanksgiving Taking, asking young Americans to hijack the evening program to turn it away from arguments about politics toward thankfulness for our freedoms and reflection on where we're headed. Learn more at wethepurple.org.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.